Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer alongside my good friend and co-host here on Second Helping, Mr. Brent Beard. Of course, Brent, a longtime college football analyst, most recently for First Coast News down in Jacksonville, Florida. And of course, as always, Brent, we've got our show mascot right there, Chino, checking in on what is becoming another very, very cold midweek evening in the South.
Great to be back. Had some family things going on. We had a baby shower, and we've got a new baby coming in the family.
Grandpa Brent
next,
with another
next
one.
Month, that will be number two granddaughter.
What's your grandfather name, by the way?
Because Yeah, that's a good question. Is Papa.
Papa. I like that. Papa. That's classy, classic, traditional. You know, the wife and I, we don't have any grandkids as of yet, but we've kind of had the talk about what we would like to be called. I think GT is what I'm hoping for. Grandpa Trav, you know, just GT.
I like that.
You know, try to keep it short and sweet. Now, I like Papa too.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Paul Bear Bryant was Papa.
That's right. He was.
Yeah, so it makes sense. Brent Beard, Paul Bear Bryant, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, Travis, you know, it's one thing for the grandchildren. I have two daughters like you do, and they call us different things. So we probably won't get into that. Okay.
No, you know, we talk about these names that we want to have as grandparents, and it'll all go out the window. It'll be whatever the grandchild calls us.
That's right.
Or, as you said, the son or the daughter, in your case, and I've got both. Decide what we will be called.
Absolutely.
It all goes straight out the window. But a lot to talk about on the latest installment of Second Helping. We are live on a Wednesday night, so if you'd like to jump on board in the show chat, we would love to hear from you. Brent, another big night of college basketball in the best league in all of collegiate hoops, the Southeastern Conference. We've got Auburn on the floor tonight. We're going to have Alabama on the road in Como, and what back in the preseason probably didn't seem like it would be that big of a game, more so because of Missouri. But here's Missouri now as a top 15 team. Alabama has been tremendous on the road in the league, hasn't lost a game in the league on the road. Not so much at home, dropped a couple of home games. Most recently, that epic showdown with the cross-state Auburn Tigers in a matchup of 1-2. So still a lot to sort out in this league where hoops are concerned here down the stretch.
Yeah, much no doubt about that. Missouri now, they've got 5 quad one wins and they're 8-4 in the SEC. Won 5 of those games by 13 or more points. This is a really good basketball team. This kid Grill, he can grill people, can he, Trav? And their shooting ability, it's going to be probably close to zero in Como tonight. But Bama needs to rebound after a difficult loss to Auburn. Trav, have you seen stance like this in a long time where Alabama actually shoots the 3 better on the road than they do in their own building?
Yeah, that typically isn't the case, right? You're comfortable at home. You understand the sight lines.
Yeah.
Depth perception, all those things. But for whatever reason, that has been the case. And unfortunately for Alabama against Auburn, it didn't shoot the 3 particularly well. And then it didn't finish at the rim as well as it needed to. Give Auburn a lot of credit for that, too. Auburn, it makes everything difficult where the defensive end is concerned. But just an amazing weekend last weekend when you think about Southeastern Conference basketball. Had a 1-2 matchup that didn't involve Kentucky, involve an Arkansas. It was an in-state matchup of Alabama and Auburn at Coleman Coliseum. Tremendous showcase for college basketball, not only in the Southeastern Conference, but right there in the state of Alabama. And as long as Bruce Pearl and Nate Oates are at those respective programs, there's no reason to think this couldn't happen more than once.
Oh, I think there's a real possibility. They play, 3 times, if not 4?
Yeah.
And listen, speaking of Auburn, they've got a game tonight.
Cal coming in.
It's against Arkansas. Trev, how about this? In the as far as Adolph Rupp, as we know, is number one with 876 wins. Billy Donovan from the Gators is number two. Dale Brown's three. But four and five play each other tonight. Coach Cal and then Bruce Pearl, 425 wins for Cal and Pearl, 368. I mean, Trent, that's amazing when you think about it, that at this point along in their career, where they are at this point, but Auburn is just really, frankly, in another world. Six players for the Tigers right now, averaging double-digit points a game. Trav, yeah. How rare is that?
Yeah, they are deep, they are talented, and they look very connected for a team that was sort of put together during the offseason in a lot of ways. Obviously, Broome and some of those critical returning factors are in play, but that's what strikes me. Now, they're an older team. You know, they're true. Legitimately older guys on that basketball team. But you still got to make it all work.
You do.
And that dynamic doesn't always come together like you would like. But, boy, it looks like that's the case right now for Bruce Pearl. And then, as we talked about in this league, every game just seems so impactful. And when you move beyond tonight and you get into the weekend, you're going to have Tennessee going to College Station. That's a top 10 matchup on Saturday at noon Eastern on ESPN. Aggies ranked seventh. The Vols ranked sixth. You know, look, there's a war right now going on with Kentucky and Vanderbilt at the half. Yeah. I think it was 41-40. Kentucky had a one-point lead. Kentucky goes to Tuscaloosa this weekend to take on Alabama. So, boy, it is such a fun league to watch. And you're talking about perhaps a historic number of teams from the SEC getting into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and Trav, the team we haven't even mentioned yet, who I think may even be the possibly rivals Auburn right now. They've already beaten them. Is Florida?
Oh yeah.
I mean, Florida is playing just absolutely out of their mind at this point. Elijah Martin, Walter Clayton, Chinelu, Trev. They weren't
getting
very
healthier.
Many.
They're getting healthier too. Yeah.
There aren't many. Teams have got guard play like that. And look, the reason I like Florida is, and if you remember this, a lot of this was when Clayton was healthy. Well, when are their bigs? They're deep at the big position. Yep. And they just annoyed Broome the whole night in that game they won at Auburn. So right now, Florida playing as well as anybody is.
They're skilled 1 through 5. Florida is, and that's a reason why, beyond just the star power that they have when you need it at a critical time, you know, you watch them against Auburn. Auburn wasn't able to bother them defensively the way Auburn bothers a lot of teams, and that's because Florida's got some bigs that can
– right.
They don't wilt under ball pressure or if they're asked to step out on the perimeter and perhaps facilitate the offense. So it's a very, very good Todd Golden team. It's the reason why, again, in the offseason, I said it well before the start of the season, if there was a sort of under-the-radar Final Four team in the Southeastern Conference going into the season, it was very much the Florida Gators. And you're right. Right now, they go to Tuscaloosa here in just a little bit. So you think about what we've got schedule-wise down the stretch, and you think about what just Alabama's got. Still got to go to Knoxville. Still got to go to Auburn. Still get the Gators in Tuscaloosa, Missouri tonight, Kentucky in Tuscaloosa on Saturday. There's just no tap-ins in this league.
Oh, no.
Down the stretch.
And Trav, another team, I mean, we just keep coming up with teams because this is an example of the depth you're talking about is Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Now the Aggies, unfortunately, were taken to the woodshed in the hump by Mississippi State, but before that, they'd won five games in a row And people forget about them, Trav, but they are, I mean, the Aggies very well could be what? Yeah. A two seed, probably if they struggle, at least a three. So just an amazing amount of depth in this league.
Incredible depth, no doubt about it. And that used to be reserved just for
the
football field, but no longer. College baseball, obviously, the SEC has been the sort of the Goliath of that sport too. But now you're seeing it in men's hoops, women's hoops, football, softball. I mean, you can pick just about any sport in the Southeastern Conference right there at the top. So, Brent, let's get into some football talk on a Wednesday night. And this time of year, as you might expect, not so much about on-the-field stuff. We're going to get into some of that, preview a little bit of spring practice, because it seems like Missouri, at least last year, got started on like January 3rd. And had its spring game on Valentine's Day or something like that. So it's coming. It's certainly on the horizon. But most of the talk in the last 24 to 48 hours, Ross Dellinger, the noted college football journalist, with some very interesting updates where the SEC and the Big Ten and what we would have considered maybe a year ago to be a sort of unholy alliance. Boy, it's sounding more and more like the two biggest leagues in the sport are flexing that muscle more and more.
Well, they really are. Now, to give people a bit of a timeline, the SEC commissioners and ADs met today, and they had a discussion. There's two ways of looking at this. One is going to be, what do they do for 2025? And then really everything's up for grabs in 2026. If you're going to make any changes this year or the coming year, it's got to be unanimous. But after that, in 2026, it really doesn't. But so this College Football Playoff Management Committee, this is 10 conference commissioners and Notre Dame's athletic director. And I can tell you, nobody can do that, but Notre Dame, meet next week in Dallas. So they will discuss a playoff format, and they will determine where they want to go. I'm going to kind of give a large outline here, and then we can break this down some more. But look, the thing that's going to really get people's attention is going to be in 2026. We're going from 12 to either 14 or 16. And there are going to be less buys than we had this year. We had four. There are going to be some guarantees. And the big boys, as Trav mentioned a minute ago, the SEC and the Big Ten, likely are going to have a permanent four teams at minimum every year. And for SEC fans, the thing that really is going to perk some ears up is Travis and I have been talking about this for virtually decades, but there is more momentum right now for the SEC to go to nine conference games than there ever has been. And what goes along with that is there may be some kind of a scheduling deal between the SEC and the Big Ten as far as playing some non-conference games also. But Trav, as I learned from you 30 years ago, you follow the money and things like this. And Trav, where the money's going is where the playoffs are going, right?
Yes. And I think, I mean, checking your notes that you send, there's a difference between if they go to 14 and 16, right? In terms of potential renegotiation of TV. And how that could play out with ESPN. ESPN kind of likes to present itself as back in the shadows or not involved in all this. And it's borderline hilarious.
We
certainly know at the end of the day how that works.
And Trav and Fox too, right?
No doubt. And so very fascinating what could play out as a result of these meetings and you know, I think most college football fans, just let them know what the format is, what we're doing.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, the money and all those things don't really resonate with them other than ticket prices.
Yeah,
now, that's something you'll probably have to take into consideration here, too. You go to 9 conference games and you have a Big Ten opponent.
Yep. Yep.
Your ticket price isn't going to drop.
Trev, at that point, how excited would the ticket man be?
Ticket man, the ticket man, he'll be a standalone, or she'll be a standalone deal. I mean, won't have to do anything else. Won't have to do anything else at all. So absolutely, the financials involved with those type of moves, definitely something to keep an eye on as well. So Brent, as we do look ahead to the start of spring football practice in the not too distant future, what do we need to kind of have our eyes and ears open for here? I kind of wanted to get into with you tonight, maybe some teams that have the biggest or most questions to answer as they crank up and get going towards the start of spring football.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind to me, kind of to taking them from the alphabet, would be who Alabama's quarterback's going to be, obviously. And then Ryan Grubb coming in as offensive coordinator. I think that's going to be fascinating. And listen, you and I have talked about this for months now, almost for years. Heard from a Arkansas beat writer today that basically said, look, all this means is that Sam Pittman saved his job for this year.
Yeah.
There's nothing guaranteed, but people think they're going to be better. Tatalian Green comes back. Bobby Petrino comes back. So, Trav, for some of these teams, like in Arkansas, those same old questions follow them throughout the year, doesn't it?
I think having that continuity with Talon Green and Petrino is huge.
It is.
Because we weren't sure if Petrino would be back for another year. That gives Arkansas, for me, a puncher's chance.
Yes.
In 2025. Yes. There's not a lot else I'm probably going to like about Arkansas in terms of the fan base and expectations and getting to 8 wins, maybe 9 in 2025, mostly because the league has become so much more of an animal than it already was.
Really?
And Arkansas is not built for that. Not built that way from a roster perspective. You're right about Alabama. The quarterback situation, is it Ty Simpson? Is it a newcomer? Is it more about quarterback, though?
Yeah,
I'll tell you,
that's a good question.
For me, it is. It is in terms of with Ryan Grubb coming in there, with DeBoer and that offense, it's time to get your guy and get in there and do offensively what got you to Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Having to do a lot of adapting to a certain player skill set, that probably means you're not able to do what you really want to do offensively. And there's other parts of that, and I'll give you one. For me, Chris Kapilovic, offensive line coach, and that group, they've got to be way better.
By far.
They were a year ago. You know, look, Caden Proctor, it's time, man.
Yeah.
Okay, you're really 2 years physically. You need to make improvements. Who's going to be the other tackle? Elijah Pritchett moves on to Nebraska. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a huge loss myself, but is it Wilkin Formby? And then the interior of that offensive line with, Tyler Booker moving on the NFL. Mm-hmm. I know at least one team in the NFL going through the initial stages of the draft process, they like Tyler Booker maybe as a top 10 pick. So that's the kind of guy you're losing on the interior. Parker Brailsford comes back. That's nice. But I've got just as much of a focus for me when it comes to Alabama on that offensive line.
No doubt. And look, Alabama's like a lot of teams, Trav. And I know we talk about this every year, but it really rings true, man. If you've got two good tackles, and I give Auburn credit, that's one thing they had to get in the portal. And they did, but yeah. But I'm with you totally. If that offense is not going to be anywhere near where it should be until that offensive line is better, particularly that tackle situation. And this is something you said a few months ago, and I agree with this totally. Trav, I think this defense could be really good.
I think they could be. I'm not as excited about the defense as I've heard some Alabama fans be coming out of the season. I know numbers-wise, statistically, you can say, oh, over the last 7-8 games, I'm a moments guy. And do you come through in big moments?
Yeah, absolutely.
When it's 3rd and 8 and the game's on the line, can you get off the field?
Right, right.
Can you take the ball away?
Yeah.
So you can keep all the total defense numbers and even the scoring numbers and all those. I'm a big moments guy.
Mm-hmm.
And really across the board, Alabama failed in
yes.
that area, regardless yes. of the areas that you really looked mm-hmm. at in 2024. So it's more of an across the board thing. I know we talk quarterback so much because, well, it's the hotter topic.
Yeah.
That position in general, but, you know, Jalen Milroe wasn't great at times.
No,
I get that.
No, that's true.
And there were times when he never had a chance either.
No,
you know, he hit his back foot and he's getting right. drilled. I know his turnovers didn't necessarily look great. They could have been worse.
Yes.
And there were shots he took that probably should have been another 3, 4, maybe 5 turnovers that he didn't have. So what about Auburn though? You mentioned the Tigers and the offensive line, I guess quarterback too, is where you look there. And is this finally the year 3 under Hugh Freeze, that he's an offensive minded guy, highly regarded, highly respected? Will it though come to fruition on the field in year 3?
I think that's a great question. And are they going to be necessarily that much better at quarterback like people think they are? But look, again, to your point about Alabama, I still think the thing they did more than anything else, they had to go and they had to do something about their offensive line.
Yeah.
Which I thought was important. Now, I tell you this, they've got some really good receivers. I mean, Eric Singleton come over from Georgia Tech is going to help them with Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson. And Trav, probably a lot of people miss this, but they gave DJ Durkin, the D coordinator, a heck of a lot of money. I think, who was it, Trav? Ohio State was trying to get him, maybe. And he's up to $2.5 million right now. Durkin is, who's bounced around the conference a good bit. So I think what Hugh had to do was solidify that line of scrimmage. But listen, you and I both know with Jackson Arnold, he will be judged on what they do at quarterback because that position has not worked for them so far.
You got Deuce Knight, the highly regarded freshman coming yes. in there. You obviously have a lot of talent at the wide receiver position, as we saw, especially as that 2024 season came to an end. Jackson Arnold and Deuce Knight kind of feels like almost Ty Simpson and Keelan Russell at Alabama.
Yeah, good point.
You talk about a guy that's been around the block now with Jackson Arnold, not necessarily at Auburn, but certainly is – been in the college game a long time now, or considerably longer than Deuce Knight. Same thing for Ty Simpson. So we'll see how that gets cranked up and how it starts to play out on the plains behind center. What about the Florida Gators? Quarterback, certainly not a question mark there. Maybe depth at quarterback, because as we saw, DJ Lagway goes out for an extended period of time. That can be tough on the Gators, but this does look like, though, Brent, the first Florida team in a long time that will be built in a way that if it does sustain a loss like DJ Lagway, it'll still be able to, because of its balance and its quality on both sides of the football, be able to still stand in there. Maybe not beat the best teams in college football without DJ Lagway, but not be a complete rollover either.
Agreed. And I think they'll be able to run the ball. Now they've kept some guys on that staff that they wanted to keep. Gerald Chapman interviewed with the Bears, their D-line coach, and he's been given an extension. So he is back. I mean, they've got some guys in the portal. I've heard good things about J. Michael Sturdivant, the wide receiver that they've got coming in. Michael Carraway is going to help them at cornerback. Kaufi Asir, as far as an edge rusher, is concerned too. So that's going to help them. Obviously, Lagway. I thought that this was significant. Lagway kind of signing a new deal that kind of helped with the community that tells me he's probably going to be there. And by the way, they did hire Trav from Washington, Robert Bala, who has been around the league. I know you're familiar with that name. He was Bama in 2023. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So let's talk about Georgia. Is it as simple right now as Gunnar Stockton's ball game in Athens? Is that what we're trending towards with Carson Beck now and Coral Gables?
If you ask Kirby, the first thing out of his mouth would be, our offensive line has to be significantly better.
Yeah.
Because last year, it was not. Mm-hmm. It is the reality for that. Now they really have helped themselves at wide receiver. Zachariah Branch is a guy that they really like. We've heard some pretty good things about him and Noah Thomas. Also, Branch's brother, Zion, is a pretty good safety also along that line. I think Stockton will be fine. I think he'll play within himself and be good. But and the other thing Kirby talked about during the season, he's talking about it today. He said, we have no depth. And look, they've got good players. Everybody knows that. But to me, like what you said with Alabama, that Kirby's going to be talking about the offensive line the whole spring.
I thought Zach Branch was going to be a Heisman Trophy candidate at USC last year.
Yeah.
Between his ability at the receiver position and the different ways you can get him the football and he can make big plays, and then also in the return game, I really thought he was going to be a breakout star in all of college football. It did not happen last year at USC, and that may turn out to be the very good fortune of the Georgia Bulldogs. What about the LSU Tigers? Sounds like expectations are going to continue to be high for that team, especially with Nussmeier back behind center for LSU. What are you thinking right now in terms of some big guys to replace on that offensive line too?
Oh yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, to me, there's a lot of pressure on LSU. I mean, LSU starts the season on the road against Clemson. Yeah. They've lost what, like five openers? that certainly has got to change.
Well, at least this one won't be a neutral site, right?
Yeah.
I mean, go straight on the road to the other Death Valley. It's going to be a battle of Death Valleys in that opener.
Sure.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Will. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's now listen, they most folks probably know where they will. Now they got some pretty good transfers. Patrick Payton comes over from Florida State. He's an edge. They got two receivers, Nick Anderson, who is not healthy at Oklahoma, but when he's healthy, he's really good. But this is a guy Travis and I love. Berrien Brown is going from Kentucky to LSU. Trav, how many times a game does Berrien Brown need to get the ball?
Well, and Garrett Nussmeier can get it to you.
He sure can.
That should absolutely be the expectation. And speaking of expectations, boy, what about Arch Manning? Anything short of the Heisman Trophy and a national championship delivered to that burnt orange fan base, you almost get the sense it'll be a little bit of a disappointment, if not a lot of a disappointment. And look, it's a Texas team that, based on every avenue you can look, whether it's organic recruiting, transfer portal, there's just not going to be many questions about that roster anyway.
No. And Trav, for those of us living in the Jacksonville area, Texas getting one Jamie French, a wide receiver from Mandarin High School, who showed early interest in Alabama, will be fascinating. And they got really good defense. They had to get some defensive linemen. They got Travis Shaw and Cole Brevard because, and Sark will be, this will be the first things that he will mention. They're losing about 1,900 snaps at defensive tackle. So
they had the portal last year. I mean, they had to go out there and they really had to change their look up front. They went from the two war daddies they had in 2023 to more of a streamline, but certainly a very active and playmaking group in 2024.
And they've got to replace some guys, obviously Matthew Golden, Isaiah Bond, who came over from Alabama. So yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see the transition at Texas this spring.
Let me ask you this question. 10 years from now, this is going back to more of the topics that we were hitting on earlier in the football segment of tonight's program. And by the way, if you haven't liked Ryer on YouTube or subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, we hope you'll go ahead and do that now. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button for second helping. That would help us out tremendously. But going back to some of the earlier, the landscape of college football, the ever-changing landscape, what it might look like even in 2 years. But let's just say, if I even say 10 years from now, Brent, will we still have conference championship games in 2035, in your opinion?
Well, that and a lot of that's going to depend on the money. I think what we're going to see, Trav, here's the deal now, is they're considering having play-in games on conference championship weekend and changing this. Now, how that's going to be, we're not quite sure yet, that would certainly spice things up. I mean, the people probably, I'm sure, know this, but the money
that could help with inclusion, though, with the G5s, and the non-SEC Big Ten leagues.
Agreed.
How they take care of that.
They
instead of having them as two seeds or something crazy.
Yeah.
Because they won their conference and they get byes into the semis. Have Boise in a play-in game, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, well, and I think that's what they're aiming for. I'll tell you another thing in 10 years, and it may be 10 years, it may be five, but when you're thinking about the SEC, Travis, we like to say expansion's not dead, it's only dormant.
Yeah.
So by then, I think North Carolina and either Duke or Virginia or pick another team from the ACC – may be in Destin along with other SEC teams too.
Give me Duke and Carolina right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give me Duke, Carolina. Football's covered. Don't need Florida State and Clemson.
Right.
You know,
right.
Or Miami and Clemson or Miami. You already got UF in Florida. Yes. You already got South Carolina. Give me Duke, Carolina. Let's get that. Think about a Wednesday night in 5 or 6 years from now with what the league is and hoops already, but then have Duke, Carolina in that mix. Oof.
And look, a lot of these SEC coaches are young guys, and they're probably still going to be here during that time. And look, I know people are going to snicker at this, but I'm just telling you the chancellors and the presidents, they've got to sign off on this stuff. And Trav, you and I know that North Carolina and say Duke with that academic reputation, those presidents and chancellors, they would eat that up, wouldn't they?
they would. The Big Ten, you know, they're kind of on that high horse when it comes to academia.
Yes, they are. Yes.
You know, although they haven't always proven to be as pure as the driven snow on a convent roof.
Right. Yes.
You know? So to quote a late friend of ours and Gregory Charles Larson.
Yes.
But yeah, we'll kind of see how that plays out. Anything else, Brent, before we get out of here?
Well, we will look. I mean, we're probably what, Trav? I mean, we're 3 weeks. Or certainly a month from about every team being on the field.
Yeah.
As far as spring is concerned. Now, we'll get into this later, but there's a little bit of talk here about, well, I don't know if we're going to have a spring game. Because we don't want, you know, this paranoia that goes on with these coaches. But I'll tell you this, and look, you being a resident of Tuscaloosa, Alabama in your past, you also know there's a lot of people come in that town for that spring game, and they spend a lot of money in that city of Tuscaloosa. So it's easy.
Well, and that's a great NIL weekend too.
Yes.
When you're trying to get donors and things, they're going to have something.
I agree totally.
You know, I know we you're right. That's been picking up steam here in the last few weeks. You're going to have some type of weekend during the spring, whether you play a spring game or whatever you do, that is very fan friendly and directed at the fans, and more importantly, potential donors.
Correct.
Because you need those people more than ever right now.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And Trav, the question has to be asked after we've gone through Valentine's Day. Did one pop? Number one, was his behavior exemplary, and did he step up the plate?
Yeah, Pops is doing. Yeah, I think we've shamed Pops into doing a lot better for birthdays and Valentine's. I think he got Nana a nice plant, he did get her Skittles, but he got her the plant and Skittles, because in years past he's just gotten her a bag of Skittles. He's kind of stepped up his game a little bit, Pops. Yeah. He's getting soft in his old age.
Well, I'm sure the granddaughters have been in his ear about things like that before too.
They don't mind telling him, especially of R2, the oldest granddaughter. Yes. She'll let him know. So But yeah, he's hanging in there doing well. So
good.
There's your Pops update. Brent, always a lot of fun here on Ryer on YouTube. It's Second Helping. Again, if you haven't subscribed to our channel here, we certainly hope you'll hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell while you're at it. That way you're notified to all of our content as it drops here on the channel. And a like, a thumbs up would be greatly appreciated as well. Brent, look forward to doing it again real soon.
Me too, bud. Glad to be back, and there'll be a lot to cover over these next few weeks.
Oh, man. We've got this confluence of hoops and baseball and softball and spring football. Yeah. Man, there is so much going on, and we'll be ready to talk about it, no doubt about it. So for Brent Beard, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here on Second Helping. Until next time, so long, everybody.